I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Truthican. And the truth, as I see it, is that we've been divided in this country by design by people who benefit from that division. And it's not going to turn out well for 99% of us unless we all come together as one human race, realize we have all the power, and tell the establishment to go fuck themselves.
Before Trump won, then everybody was like, these election machines are all fucked up. They shouldn't be connected to the internet, and why are there computers inside them when they just gotta count shit? But then Biden won, and they were like, no, they're fine now.
If you're not smart enough to be my friend, fuck you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Truthican Podcast. It's going to be episode 87. But before, I forgot that to put this on the beginning of our podcast, so I'm just going to do a separate intro and put it onto the podcast. I really enjoyed today's episode, episode 87. I think we get better at this all the time, and this is one of my favorite episodes. But I forgot to mention in the beginning of this podcast that I'm going to be at the Des Moines Funny Bone this weekend. If you have friends in the Des Moines area, I would love for them to come to the show. Des Moines.funnybone.com. It's scrolling across the bottom of the screen there. I really need to sell as many tickets as possible. It would help me out. So if you're a fan of this podcast and you know anybody in that area, please tell them about the show. And yeah, my YouTube is youtube.com/Tim Gaither. They can go there and see that I'm in fact funny, and I've been doing this for a living for a long time, and I'm looking forward to the show. So tell them that. And without any further ado, let's start the podcast. God bless all of you, and thanks for tuning in. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Truthican Podcast, episode 87, with my good buddy Mike Baldwin. If you're not familiar with this podcast, we talk about a lot of things, but mainly we talk about the deep state being real and all the things going on in the world right now. We talk a lot about politics and Trump and Biden and all the just insane things that are going on in our country, and we try to make some sense of it.
And funny stuff.
And
we got a couple of funny ones today.
Awesome. Maybe we should start out with something funny. But
yeah, you want to?
Yeah. I also wanted to talk about that animation thing you sent me. I don't know where people can go to see that. I guess just YouTube. But I don't know if you have that in front of you. I didn't really.
No. What's it called? I don't even remember.
It's called Kingdom Animated Short Film.
Yeah, I sent that to you because it's funny that both of these apply to the same guy, but I saw it on Quite Frankly the other day. And so I had sent it to you. I didn't have it for the show because it's 13 minutes long, but yeah, it's called Kingdom. If you just type in Kingdom Animated Short, the user that posted it on YouTube is N-Shadow, but just type in Kingdom. It's a cool animated thing that basically shows, like, it's like an artsy version of, like, all the politicians are like puppets and we're all like being blinded to what's going on around us, but like if we seek the truth we can find it.
Yeah,
but it's 13 minutes of that, but it was captivating enough that I sent it to you and you were like, this was fucking awesome.
It was awesome. I watched it this morning. You sent it to me days ago and I just now got around to watching it, but I'm going to watch it again just because I think it's one of those things that the more you watch it, the more things you'll see. And for me, you know, as somebody who as a believer, I believe in Jesus Christ, and that's what it's ultimately about, is people needing to come to Jesus. And at least that's what I got out of it. And, you know, I pray every single day, but lately I've gotten away from it a little bit, not away from praying. I still pray every day, but, every morning and most nights, and a lot of times during the day, but I don't want to say I've gotten away from it, but I haven't been living it as much lately, and I haven't been as happy lately. And I've also, I don't know how to say it. I'm kind of fired up this morning, but the animation was great, and it started out with like showing about how the beginning of all this pandemic business, we were like, you know, masked up and we're all on our phones and just kind of becoming zombies. And yesterday I went hiking with my little boy, and I was really like just kind of bummed out about how tied our lives have become to those phones. And I was like, I'm just going to get rid of this thing. Like, I'm just going to get like a flip phone that I can have for texts and calls. And I've had that idea a lot. And then you start thinking about like, well, Uber's on there and all these things, like your whole lives are just, we have become just attached to these things. And I don't know if it was by design. I don't know if there's somebody who that was their grand plan, is to make us all like zombified, is that a word, by these things.
Well, it's transhumanism is definitely a term and has been for a long time, that electronics are going to like intermesh themselves in our lives. But I don't know if anybody predicted that it was going to be phones that we were staring at all day, you know?
Yeah. And social media can, you know, like I try to get up every morning and the first thing I do is go outside in my spot where I pray, and I try to start my day that way. Because if I get on social media immediately, and especially if I go to like my YouTube and someone has said something negative or, you know, snarky or whatever, it can set my day up for failure, at least the first part of it. And I have to make sure to not do that. And sometimes it's something positive, and then I'm like, yay, but I don't want to get my worth or value out of that or whatever. And, you know, especially young people, I feel bad for them. Like a lot of young people don't even want to learn how to drive anymore. They just want to take Ubers and so they can be on their phone. And I remember a few years ago, I was trying to get someone to help me with something. And I was reaching out to like younger people that knew about animation or something. And I remember I messaged this kid and I was like, hey, can we just have a conversation? Like, can I get your number? And he's like, whoa, dude, I don't talk on the phone. Like, he was like, can we just do it through email? Like, I don't communicate that way. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? You don't communicate that way. That's people talk, you know, like, but I can't imagine being born into this. Like, it can affect me, and I'm in my late 40s. So, you know, kids getting bullied and cyber bullied and all that other stuff. And anyway, this animation thing was really just, you know, and basically the end of it, to me, what I got out of it is like, we need to put on the armor of God. And like, and then at the end of it, it kind of brought it all together. Like all these people who had been like zombified, and they had these people who were like hunched over, and they had these big humps on their back from like looking down at their phones so much. That's what I got out of that too. And at the end, everyone was like coming together and loving each other instead of being so damn mean and snarky. I've seen it in every aspect of our lives. Like, you know, I'm a wrestling fan, and I go to these wrestling groups, and the shit that people say, they're just so negative and mean and shitting all over each other.
That's why. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm done. That's why what?
That's why Jordan Peterson is one of the advocates, and there's a lot of others for in a book called The Circle that was all about like technology and stuff like that. They had this thing called True You, where you had to like use your social security number, birth certificate or whatever to like get an online account. And that's because when you're online and you're anonymous, you say, Joe Rogan once talked about like people will say online the things that they would just say to like their friend quietly at work, like, hey, if Barack Obama came in here, I'd kick his fucking ass, you know, like stuff like that. But now people say that shit anonymously online in front of everybody. And so that's the difference between like free speech and free speech on the internet, which is, I mean, I guess like if you just walk down the street and shout like the N-word or Jewish stuff or whatever, like most people are going to be like, dude, like if you're just standing on a street corner, most people aren't going to gather around and listen to what you have to say, you know. But on the internet, they're kind of forced to, like everybody is forced to see that thing that you said. And I guess they could just like turn their eyes away and stop reading. But once you start reading a paragraph, you're like, well, I'm going to finish. I'm going to see what this guy says. Anyway, Jordan Peterson says we shouldn't be allowed to be anonymous online. And I don't know how I feel about that because, you know, like a lot of the, well, Q, for example, and a lot of the Anons and all that stuff online, like, have brought out, like, important information, whistleblowers and stuff like that. Like, I don't know how many of them are posting stuff anonymously online, but I bet they exist. And that would be out of the question. I don't know. That I just thought of that when you said, like, how mean people are on the internet. But it's not like real life. Like, people are just more eager to just be the worst version of themselves. It's the same with, like, dating or whatever, like, hitting on girls. Like, most guys wouldn't just walk up to a girl at a bar and be like, yo, you want this dick? But, like, dudes will absolutely send that message to a girl on a dating app in the hopes that she's just like, all right, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, on one hand, you want to be anonymous if it's something that, you know, if somebody could ruin your career or they could, you know, yeah, ruin your career or ruin your livelihood or something like that. You don't want everyone to be able to do that. And at the same time, maybe people would be less apt to be dicks if their real name was out there. And, you know, sometimes you get upset about people that, you know, saying things. And it's all the same tone, you know, like they're if they want to shit on your YouTube video or something, it's all just negative. And it's easy to focus on negativity, certainly, but. You know, but there's people like whistleblowers, like you said, that you don't want them to get murdered or whatever. So yeah, I see arguments for both sides of that argument.
Yep. But do you got anything to add?
Not really.
All right. So this you were talking about just like getting down or whatever, and we've talked before about how I don't let any of this shit get to me, like, because I believe that there is some sort of plan, you know, like whether that's the army or like the military's plan or God's plan or whatever. I don't have any idea. But this I found this video when I was doing some research for the future thing. What is that called? Operation Looking Glass. And this doesn't talk about that, but it sort of spells out the way that I feel in this whole like battle of good versus evil. So play this. This was cool.
Okay. Before we play it, I just want to say that, yeah, I do get a little down about things in my career or whatever. And when I turn it over to God and I just allow it to be his plan, whatever happens is going to be okay. If I just trust in him, I'm better. And like last night I went running and I hadn't been able to do that in a long time. And I just intended to go for a walk. My knee has been messed up for a long time and it still kind of is. But last night I just did this real slow jog, but it ended up being like 40, 45 minutes that I ran. And I didn't run fast or anything, but it was so good for me mentally. That's what I miss about running is it's more mental exercise for me than it is even physical. There's better things to do than run as far as exercise. But what it does for me mentally and just, I get myself all fired up, you know, and talking about God out loud, like anyone watching, anybody that I ran past probably thought I was a mental patient, but I do that all the time and it helps me tremendously. So when I'm do that, I'm better. So I just want to say that real quick. Let's watch this.
Basically what we're experiencing right now is two master chess players sitting at the board. And one of them looks down at the board and sees that he's in checkmate in seven moves. And he looks across at his opponent, and he knows that his opponent sees it too. So there's no getting out of it. So at this point, the loser can only prolong the game. Both players know the game is over. It's only a matter of time before he does this, and then you're forced to do this, and then he's forced to do this. And eventually, checkmate. We, as a race, if we could understand that the game is over, that based on the rules of the game, the bad guys have already lost, the good guys have already won. Yes, there's moves left on the table, but those moves are being forced by the player that is going to win. The only way that checkmate can't happen is if the player that's winning makes a mistake. But from all of the information that I've gathered, all of the information that's been given, all of the information that's been vetted to me, it seems pretty obvious that the good guy player on the side of the chessboard knows exactly what has to be done to win the game. And so at this point, any mistake would be all but impossible. But again, you really have to understand the game to know that the guy that's losing is lost. And I'm sure most people sitting watching a chess match between two advanced chess players know the game's over long after the two players know it's over, because they can't see the board and see that there's only seven moves left.
Eh? By the way, that wasn't my notification. That was on the video already in the middle of that. I meant to say something about that beforehand, but regardless, I like that video because it reminds me of Q shit, where it's like there's no way they can escape this. Like, there's no way that we don't win.
Yeah, I love that video, and that's kind of, you know, the revelation I've had just in the last 12 to 15 hours is that it's already written. Whether we're talking about God and that kind of thing, or whether you're talking about what's going on in the world right now, and what we believe and hope is that, you know, Trump is a 5D chess player, speaking of him and chess. But all the deep state and the people trying to destroy everything can do now is prolong this and do everything they can to get the guy who's already won to somehow make a mistake, or to get that guy out of the game by causing all kinds of mayhem, whether we're looking at a 9/11 event or whatever they try to do to keep Trump out of the White House. Because again, we believe that it's a much bigger thing than a four-year election. We think this is us getting back to what, hopefully, what the founding fathers laid out for us, and getting our own currency and making America truly as amazing as it could be. I mean, I think people think America's already great, but it could be a lot better. So I love that video.
Nice.
Do we want to go right into another video, or?
Yeah, we got a shitload of them. So let's plow through them as much as we can. We have three for you to choose from. One of them makes me laugh. The other one also makes me laugh. And the third one makes me uncomfortable. So whichever one you want to play, we'll discuss which one that was after it's over.
Well, maybe we should be uncomfortable and then laugh.
All right. Well, the uncomfortable one, I made it 2x speed because they talk slow anyway, and I just didn't want to have to watch this any longer than I had to. Okay. Shit like this just it goes on all over America right now, and I just wish one person in this crowd would be like, "What? No! Like, what are you talking?" But nobody does, and that's what our problem is that people don't speak up and be like, "This is ridiculous."
Okay. Which one is it? There's three of them up here.
I don't know how to describe it. It's the one farthest away from my face, I imagine.
Well, there's one that with a t-shirt that says pretty. The other says in the middle of, it looks like Biden speaking. And then...
Yeah, neither of those.
Okay.
The white Americans in the room to please repeat after me. On behalf of myself and on behalf of my country. To you and all African Americans, from the beginning of our nation's history, in honor of your ancestors and on behalf of your children, please hear this from my heart. I apologize. please forgive us. With this prayer, I acknowledge the depth of the evils that have been perpetrated against black people in America. From slavery to lynchings to white supremacist laws to the denial of voting rights to all the ways, both large and small, all of them evil, all of them wrong.
And all the, it's the same kind of stuff like during the BLM where people were like kissing black people's shoes and stuff. And like, it's like, dude, nobody is better or worse than anybody. Can't we all just push that idea instead of being like, sorry, what my ancestors did? Like, all of our ancestors are terrible. Like, it doesn't matter where they were from. They all still, like, savagely killed people to survive. They all, like, did things that we would consider abhorrent today. Like, we grow as a species. You can't blame people for things that their ancestors didn't understand or didn't care about. Like, some things they did know. They were like, they probably looked at slaves then, regardless of what color, because every continent on Earth has had slavery. Maybe not Antarctica. I don't know. But anyway, like, I'm sure there were people that looked and they were like, well, those are just people. Like, why are they less than us? And their parents were like, ah, don't ask that kind of question. They're less than us. And it's like, all right. And then slowly, I bet there was one generation that was like, we should free all the slaves. And the parents are like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck's happening? Like, that's what I think when I think about trans shit or whatever now, because I'm the one now that's like, this is fucking ridiculous. And they're teaching it in schools. But take any of that stuff and make it like mixed marriages or fucking not marrying 13-year-olds or anything. Like, all of those things were at one time like, wait, what? Like, no, that's not how you do things. That's fucking weird and wrong. And I just fear that this is the next step in that.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very cringeworthy video. And I almost wish it had been at just normal speed so people could hear completely the words of it. But I understand why you did it.
You get the gist. But yeah.
And when I watched the video, like, there were several black people that were like, please stop. Like, this is so, and I can't speak for black people, but I think that a lot of black people were probably like, oh, they're just as cringed out as anybody else, you know, like for that kind of shit, or the videos with the white people kissing black people's shoes and all that shit. Like, that is not necessary. And I never want my boy to feel guilty because he was born white. It's the same thing as it's racism. It's all racism. And it's also, you know, we truly have come a long way. And even if you look at like movies from the 80s, even back then we had come a long way, you know, but at least back then there was more humor about it. You know, there's that great Chevy Chase skit with Richard Pryor. And that was in like the 70s, you know, but it was so funny where he's like, dead honky. You know, do you remember that? You know what
I'm
talking
about? Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
He said, they said the N word.
Yeah. And it was like a name word association game. And if you haven't seen that video, you should go find it. I don't know where you can find it now. But
did you see the, what's that guy's name? Bobby Lee. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Did you see that video of him talking about like white people being evil and how Korea never had slavery and that kind of stuff?
No.
He was on a podcast or something and he was like, hold on here. He was like, Koreans don't have a history of enslaving other people. And the guy on the host or whatever was like, look that up. Look it up right now. Like, did Koreans have slaves? And they like looked it up and hold on, I'm watching it now. Korea had the longest unbroken chain of slavery of any society in history. They're all laughing at him for even saying that. And he's like, God, everybody's fucking terrible. But before they looked that up, he was just like, white people, man, slavery, you know, like I'm Korean. Like, sure, we had that, but we never had slavery or anything. And the guy's like, are you fucking kidding me? But so it's like every country in the world has some history of slavery. Like, that's what the Native Americans that lived here, that was like a big part of their thing, was like, we're going to take over this tribe. We're going to kill all the men. We're going to raise the boys, like the children, as our own. And we're going to fucking take the wives as our prizes. You know, like, humans were fucking, we didn't have unalienable rights or whatever. Like, it was just my tribe versus your tribe. And it's only in the last, I don't know what, several hundred years or whatever, that we started being like, eh, all right, like, we're all equal. Well, like, that's where we started doing that shit. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, and you know, it's something that people get upset about, but I learned this from, I don't remember if it was Thomas Sowell or who, but like, people don't like to hear that, like, Africans, it was the slave trade, we didn't just go over there and physically take these young, strong black men and women. They were sold to the people going over there. It was a business transaction. You know, so they were sold by their own people. And that's not a justification for it. I'm just saying it's crazy how many people don't know that, you know, like, it was a business.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, maybe a big, huge, maybe one time the boat would have came over and physically taken these people from their own land. But the second time, they could see us coming way off, they would have been like, there they come. And they would have made sure, they would have murdered every slave trader that was trying to get off that boat to come get them or whatever. But instead, they were in shackles and they're like, here you go, come back next year and we'll have more for you. Or whatever, you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like the Native American thing, except with those tribes over there. Like, one tribe would take over another tribe and they'd be like, all right, instead of killing all the men, we're going to chain them up and then we'll sell them to these white people. Like, I'm not saying that any of it was good. I'm just saying we're all equally shitty as far as our ancestors go, if you go back far enough. Like, it just so happens that we're like the most recent one, I get. Well, that's not even true, because there's more slavery today than there's ever been in history. Of course, there's more people today than there's ever been in history, so that probably has something to do with it. But it's like, how do you define slavery necessarily? You know, like, our slaves in America were absolutely slaves, but they were still given a place to live, given food. Like, a lot of us that are living today, even in America, that's basically all that we have, because we work all day long, you know. Not me, I don't work at all, but but like, I just happen to be one of the fluke cases of people who just get to talk shit for a living. But still, like, it's, when we say that there's slavery now, like, you still have to feed and house these people. So there's a lot of people in China, or I don't know where, Africa, where else has slaves? I don't, North Korea for sure. Well, probably, at least. We don't know, because nobody fucking talks about it. But regardless, like, I would like to see what a slave looks like today, because I bet it's not the same as it was, as the pictures that we see from the 1700s and 1800s and stuff, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, it's different, but in a way, we're all slaves now, as far as like the egregious taxes we pay and like the hamster wheel we're all forced to be on. You know, we're taxed to death on everything.
And credit, like the idea of like, oh, you can't afford a thing. Like, don't worry, go ahead and get it today. You can worry about paying for it later. Like, the idea of that just instilled in every 18-year-old in America. Like, I went through the same, I'm still dealing with repercussions of just getting free shit. In my mind, it was just free shit, you know? I would look at my bank account and be like, I have $67 left. But, oh, I'll look at my you know, Citibank account, I've got $7,000 of free money that I can just get whatever I want with. Like, that idea is just, it's not good for anybody except for the companies that are loaning you the money.
Yeah. And again, I'm not comparing it to being in chains and having to, you know, I'm not comparing it to that, but like there's to your point, like that's why they put up these tents all over college campuses. Come get a credit card. And all these young people who are pretty stupid and high school doesn't really teach you like this about credit cards. Then you get on a college campus and they're like, "Hey, come sign up for this," and you get a free credit card. But you know, and then they get in all this credit card debt, and it takes them years to pay off. And they don't,
if ever.
And when you're young, you're so stupid and short-sighted, you know. And then a month later, you get this bill, and you're like, "Wait, I owe this." And they're like, "Yeah, but you only got to pay this." And then you're like, "Oh, okay." And then it's going to take you 10 years to pay off $100 night at the bar or whatever, you know. Like that's modern day slavery in a way. Like, just come, you know, I don't know. It's all pretty evil. And that's part of why I would love for us to get away from the Federal Reserve and the central bankers and all that shit that, God willing, and hopefully that's, you know, that's part of what Trump is going to do is, again, I say this all the time, but get us back on our own currency and not be under the thumb of these people that start all this shit, you know, everything else that they make money off of, wars and depressions and pandemics and all that shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if we don't get on some kind of new currency or some like gold backed thing or whatever, like it's still, I mean, we saw between 2017 and like early 2020 that things like would get better if we stuck on that path. Like businesses were buying more equipment. They were hiring more people. Businesses were expanding and shit. Lots of new businesses were opening because of regulations and stuff that weren't in place anymore. And just because of lower taxes and things like that. Like if you have $1 million business and your taxes go from 35% to 30%, that's saving you tens of thousands of dollars a year, maybe hundreds of thousands, you know? So like shit like that, where families who own businesses would look at their records and shit and be like, "Dude, we're going to make fucking 40 grand more this year, like doing the exact same shit that we did last year. Like, this is fucking awesome. Let's build that new part of the bar that we wanted to build, or let's hire those people that we wanted to hire." Like, everybody was helping everybody else. And people complain like the billionaires need to pay their fair share. And like, if we would just charge rich people more in taxes and shit like that. And it's like, it doesn't matter if a dude makes $1 billion, as long as I can afford to do the shit that I want to do. Like, me taking from that guy doesn't help all of us as a whole. That guy making his $1 billion and me making 100 grand makes me and the billionaire equally happy, you know?
Yeah, it could be millionaires could be a dime a dozen in this country. It wouldn't be such a rare thing to be a millionaire in this country if we got back to what the founding fathers laid out for us. And all these taxes weren't the way they are and all that. But the elite, if that's what you want to call them, that's why they want to keep us the way we are, because then they cease to be elite anymore if we got back to, if we got to where this country should be.
Yeah.
You know? And hopefully it will. You know, hopefully my son grows up in that country instead of this Hunger Games society I forget what they're called now, Klaus Schwab and all them.
The WEF and...
Yeah, the World Economic Forum and all that. That's what they want us to be on. It's like, we have a choice to make here. We can ultimately go that route or we can go this route. And I wish that people, and I think that's part of what that animated video was about too, was like opening, the more people's eyes get open to this stuff, the harder they're going to push to not let that come to fruition.
Yeah, but that's also like, that that's the one of the downsides of capitalism, or just the way that we're currently doing it, is like, you know, like a freezer. My grandma has a freezer in her basement that she probably bought in like 1940 or something, and it still runs, it still works, and like, you know, like they say, like, things were built to last back then. And somewhere along the line they learned, like, dude, if we make sure that this thing only lasts 5 years, then we're selling one of these to the same person every 5 years. Like, we're going to make a killing, you know? And they, businesses started using that model of like, just, they'll buy another one next year. The iPhone, like all that kind of shit, shoes, jeans. Like, I remember my grandpa telling a story about how he had like the same pair of jeans all through school, like that he acquired from an older brother or whatever. So they were like way too big for him at one point, and then started getting like way too small for him at another point. But there was never like, let's all go get you a new pair of jeans, like that kind of shit. I don't know. Like, I, if we could, of course, if I owned a business, I wouldn't want to do that either. Like, and knowing like, hey, I'm going to make $1 million this year, but then once everybody buys the thing that I made, nobody's ever going to need to buy one again. So I'm going to have to figure out something else to do to make more money to give to my kids and that kind of shit. I don't know. I've heard somebody say we should make a thing that says, like, you can't give inheritance to people. Like, whatever you have when you die, like, that all just disappears. And I don't agree with that, but I can see why somebody would think it's a good idea, because it's, I mean, think of like the trust fund kids and the rich kids that are only rich because their parents are rich. Like, there's not a ton of the same kind of work ethic that somebody with poor parents has to have. Of course, as I say that, I mean, those are still the same kids that get into Harvard and shit. And it's not like they only get in because they have rich parents. They get in because they're like smart enough to be at Harvard. So they're, I guess their parents are instilling something in them. Anyway, I'm fucking rambling. We still have like 9 videos to go if you want to watch some videos, unless you got something to add to my bullshit.
No, not really. No, not really. I don't. I think you said it pretty well. Let's, which one do you want to watch? The shirt pretty or the, that looks like Biden.
Yeah, do the Biden one.
Okay.
I never thought I'd see a sign when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or something, to see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden, and having a little kid standing with his middle finger, 7 years old, 8 years old. Well, I promise it happens all the time.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny. He's like, you little kids flip me off, and people put up signs that say fuck me. I don't think I've ever seen a real fuck Trump sign in the wild. I've seen pictures of them and stuff, but I see fuck Biden, I see let's go Brandon, and I see just Trump when I'm traveling.
What do you mean by in the wild?
Like in real life, like as I'm just driving across the country or something like that. Like, I've seen pictures of them on the internet of somebody holding up a fuck Trump sign or something like that. But like when I'm driving, when I'm just out in the wild, I'm like, fucking Trump sign, there's a Trump sign. There's a let's go Brandon sign. Like, there's an American flag, which might as well be a Trump sign at this point, which is kind of ridiculous. But
yeah, it's very ridiculous that that's become like this symbol of racism or whatever the hell these idiots want us to believe, want the general public to believe. And I don't know if we have the video, but he was talking to some reporter and the guy's like, are you worried that I never see any signs that say that are pro Biden? He's like, we haven't been in the wrong, driving through the wrong neighborhoods, Jack. And
no, I'm like, we don't have that.
Yeah. But I rarely, if ever, see a, for somebody who supposedly got 80 million legit votes, you think you would see more of those. I would still love to know the number of, That reminds me of something that I wanted to say at the beginning of this podcast. Was last night I spent about 10 minutes before I was just like, what are you doing? Stop. But I still have an AOL account, I've told you, and sometimes I get sucked into their headlines, and it said that Biden, Trump, and RFK are now in a three-way tie. And I, you know, speaking of anonymous, it just has my first name, so I went ahead and wrote a comment about how absurd that was. And I noticed that immediately, like, three people, like, down, gave it the thumbs down, you know? So I guess that's, I don't know, maybe AOL is a pro-Biden platform. I mean, there were definitely people who agreed with me or whatever, but I was like, there is no way this is legit. And a lot of people were like, well, the news is fake and this is all bullshit and polls mean nothing. But I just think it's funny that that's their attempt to make checkmate prolonged, is they're like, well, what else can we do? I put out a fake poll that says they're it's a much closer race than I just have a hard time believing that there's still a number of people in this country that are like, dude, we can't. You know, I saw some people saying things like, our democracy's at stake and it's either Trump or democracy. We can't have both. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like, he's a constitutionalist. He's all about America and the things that America were founded on. And I just, there's no freaking way. And I spent about 10 minutes. I wasn't arguing with people, but I wrote on a couple of people's comments. I replied to them, and then I'm like, what are you doing? There could not be a bigger waste of time than what you're doing right now.
That's probably true.
And I made myself stop. But and I was in a great mood before I started that, because it was after my run, and I was just feeling better about life in general. And then I'm like, this is the enemy, dude. This is the shit that the devil or whatever you want to blame it on makes you do, like whispers in your ear, like, well, what about this? What about that guy that fucked you? What about this booker that's not responding to you? You know, and before you know it, you're in a bad headspace again. And you just have to shake that shit off and realize what a waste of time it is.
Yep.
So.
All right. Play this one real quick. It's like 20 seconds long. It's just comparing Trump and the current resident.
Okay.
Message to Iran.
Don't.
As President Biden said, just don't.
Exactly. One word. Pretty straightforward.
I'm going to bomb the shit out of them. It's true. I don't care. I don't care. They've got to be stopped.
That was actually Kamala Harris was talking about Iran. That guy was asking her in that interview. Trump was talking about ISIS. That was from like 2015 or 16, I'm pretty sure, because that was when he was still running for president. But regardless, I liked that video.
Yeah. But,
hold on. I'm going to put up this thing next, because this is kind of goes along with what we were talking about. When you were saying that AOL like is Democrat or whatever, like YouTube definitely is, which is why we're not on there 99% of the time as far as our podcast goes. But so in this video that we're about to watch, Biden talks about how Trump called soldiers suckers and losers. And the story is that they were in France. They were supposed to go to like the where the Americans are buried in France, and they canceled it due to rain. Allegedly Trump was like, who cares about them? Like, they died. They're suckers and losers, which is like, Trump is like super military guy. Like, he's supported very strongly by the military, or was then, you know. He gave a fuck a lot about the military. He gave like record amounts of money to the military and to veterans and that kind of shit. Like, the idea that he would say that, if somebody told me that he said that, I would be like, do you have proof? And they're like, well, four anonymous people told me that. And I'm like, okay, well, if the same story was flipped with Biden, the headlines and the video titles and whatnot would say like, without proof, they claim that Biden said this, and shit like that. Like, no proof that this happened. With Trump, it's like everything on YouTube. The first one says Trump called war dead, losers and suckers. The next one says Trump denies calling them losers and suckers. Trump humiliates himself. That's a different video. But local retired Maine Iraq veteran. Trump calling us losers and suckers was hurtful. Just the way that they frame everything is like, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And you just see how one-sided everything is. And you know, like, first of all, right after this happened, like 10 people came out on the record and they were like, my name's this and I was fucking there and that's not what happened. But nobody cares about that part of the story. Anyway, there's more than that in this video, but I want to play this one first and then I'll play the other thing afterwards.
Yeah, the idea that he would say that, you know, I mean, Trump's a lot of things and says some things that even as someone who does support him, I'm like, oh, dude, I wish you hadn't said that. Like, there's no freaking way he said this. And the fact that Biden's still pushing it and how fired up he gets, it's comical. I know what he was going for, but it's comical. We'll watch it.
Before you play it, also, and Dan Bongino's pointed this out before, but the reason that it got canceled that day was because... not because Trump was like, oh, it's raining, I don't want to go out there. It's because the Secret Service was like, it's the same reason they cancel football games and shit. They were like, dude, there's lightning. Like, we're not going to fly you in a helicopter through this lightning. And we planned on flying you in this helicopter. So we're not going to do all the bullshit that it would take to drive you there because we don't have the security. We had the helicopter security and we're not doing that now. So they canceled it because of that. Not because Trump was like, I don't want to get wet.
Yeah, it's almost like that January 6th story that they tried to put out there, that he reached across and wrenched the steering wheel out of the Secret Service driver's hand and like, we're going here. Like even if he tried to pull that off, which he didn't, but he couldn't have. He's not stupid. He's not like, you know, the idea that he would just be like, we're going here, and turn the thing around and maintain that and be like, I told you we're going here, shut up, you know, and he's going to take this Secret Service guy and physically, it's just so fucking, ugh.
Yeah, well, I mean, that and the idea that if you were in the back seat of a limousine designed to keep the president alive in case it's fucking hit by a missile or something, that all you got to do is get the driver to open the door and you can fucking just crawl right back there and get him. That'd be easy enough. Like, that's not, it's all like fucking walled in and shit, you know, like he's protected from both sides. I guess the driver is protected from him also. Anyway, yeah. Whatever.
Here's the video.
My grandfather would tell me when I walked out the door in North Washington Avenue in Scranton. You know, thanks to the mayor, Paige, I was going to talk about the old man. I've already cut the federal deficit. You know, all the stuff they talk about what we've done, and I'm going to be self-serving a little bit. Every objective alternative points out we've had the most successful economy of any major economy in the world so far. A lot more to do. But guess what? During the whole time, I've been able to cut the federal deficit at the same exact time. Over $1 trillion. The one that offends me the most is when he refused his president to visit an American cemetery outside of Paris when he was president. Why? He said that those soldiers who gave their lives were, quote, was his quote, suckers and losers. Suckers and losers, he said it. Who the hell does he think he is? Who does he think he is? These are heroes. These soldiers were heroes because he failed to care. Not only did people die, but millions of Americans lost their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods. On Trump's watch in the 4 years he was president, we lost nearly 3 million jobs were lost.
It's speaking of cringe. I mean, please, Lord Jesus, do not allow that man to be the president 4 more years. I can't watch it. Not that I watch much of what he says, but he's just so vile to me.
I just added this video. This was Trump's rebuttal or whatever to him saying that, but originally.
Okay.
It's a fake story, and it's a disgrace that they're allowed to do it.
A fuming president denied the claims today.
It was a terrible thing that somebody could say the kind of things, and especially to me, because I've done more for the military than almost anybody else.
The Atlantic reporting is based on four cowardly anonymous sources who probably do not even exist. Meanwhile, within hours, 10 sources, 10, went on the record debunking these lies.
I stand by my reporting. Multiple sources telling me this is what happened. And so I stand by it.
Joe Biden pounced on the report today.
Who the heck does he think he is?
I left the Inside Edition music at the end. I like how Biden went from heck to hell. They were like, people like it when you cuss, Joe. Get out there and cuss. Don't say fuck or anything, but give them some goddams or whatever.
Oh, he's, anyway.
All right, we did that one. This is old, but there were these girls on a podcast, and somebody, they were like reading birthdays from comments and stuff, and this guy typed in that his last name was Gurr and his first name was Nick. And it's, you just see like the acknowledgement in this girl's eyes. It's old, but it's humorous. So we'll play this.
Okay. And the last thing I'll say about the video we just watched is, as a general rule of thumb, and I know I'm not telling anybody who's watching this, this isn't some revelation, but if they say so-and-so said this, say five unnamed sources, that means that's code for this is a lie. This is all bullshit that we're getting ready to tell you. And if you hate him, you'll love to hear it. And if you don't, then just know that it's bullshit. Okay, here's the video.
And happy birthday to Nick Gurr, if you're watching. Someone in chat wants me to say that. Happy birthday, Nick Gurr.
All right, we do have also honorable mentions.
Yes.
Right? I just like her face. She's like, oh, God. And the other girl doesn't even notice.
So funny. Okay. That was funny. Okay.
Let's see here. Do we want to do the abortion one first or the thing about how ladies should have more babies? Which one goes better first? Let's do the babies thing first. Play this. This is, what's his name? Charlie Kirk? Is that who it is in this?
Yeah.
It's, people hate messengers. I saw a thing the other day, somebody posted on Facebook, like, did you hear that Tucker Carlson went on Joe Rogan and said that evolution has been proven false? And, like, I had just watched the episode, so I knew exactly what he said, which is like, he didn't say it's been proven false. He was like, it's a theory still. It's like, it hasn't been definitively proven. We don't have the missing link, so to speak, where you can draw a line from single-celled organisms to human beings. Like, sure, there's adaptation and whatever, but, and Rogan's like, so how do you think humans got here? And Tucker Carlson's like, God. Like, that's what I, you know, Adam and Eve, that kind of shit. Like, so that's what he was saying. He, anyway, so I don't remember the point of what I was saying, but oh, right. So people hear like, it's Charlie Kirk. Like, I don't want to fucking hear. But if the information is valid, then it shouldn't matter who's saying the thing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And my problem, if that's how you want to phrase it, with evolution, I'm not saying I don't believe in evolution. I think God is the master scientist, and whatever he laid out could, you know, but like, I'm not anti-evolution, but why are there still monkeys if that's what we evolved from, and apes and all that? Why are they still around? Like,
oh, I mean, my argument to that would be, why are there still fish and birds and shit if all we do is evolve into something better? It's because, you know, one thing turned in to a human, or not, it didn't actually go from monkey to human. It went from monkey to like Cro-Magnon, fucking whatever Lucy was called. Like, there's several different versions of not humans, but Homo whatever, you know, before Homo sapien, Homo erectus, Homo whatever, all sorts of gay shit. So I, but with each one, with each evolution, mutation or whatever, like there's still a shitload of the old thing making old thing babies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I, dude, it, for me, religion is magic. And it's like, I, a part of me wants to believe that there is magic, but there's no other word for, you know, man in the sky poofs us all here other than the word magic. Like, that's what religion is. And I just feel like at one point religion had everything. They had the wind and the rain and the crops growing and all of that stuff was all religion. You know, like if we do this, if we sacrifice this virgin, or if we dance this way all together, if we scream at the gods or whatever, then the rains will come or what. And over time, like all of that stuff has been like, ah, actually that wasn't God at all. That was, you know, it wasn't a rain God. It was just this precipitation and evaporation and whatever. And so the, at this point, the only stuff that religion has left is how did we get here and where do we go when it's over? And yeah. So the scientific defense of that or whatever is like, eventually we'll figure that out too and realize that it's just science. But regardless, at some point there has to be magic. Like if, whether there's the, whether the Big Bang is true or whether we're in like an infinite whatever where it's just always been here. It's just always been here. There's no beginning. And it's like, well, I don't really, I can't buy that because you can't have anything without a beginning. But, I don't know. I'm rambling again. This is a rambly podcast for me today.
Well, gosh, it made me forget what I was going to say.
God is real.
I definitely believe God is real, but anyway, I'll think of it when we play the video.
All right.
Typically, men are turning more conservative, but the women are suffering out here. So I would like to know what it is that I can do when I'm around women to start to change minds.
So look, I'm not an expert in how to win over young women for conservatism. The biggest thing is this: more young women need to get married at a younger age and start having kids. The single woman issue is one of the biggest issues facing the civilization. We have more single women in our, the early 30s that are the most depressed, suicidal, anxious, lonely in America's history, because there's a biological clock that's going off and they realize that they're not going to be able to have kids and that they're not as desirable in the dating market or in the dating pool. And so they start to lash out on the rest of society. Just get married early, like reject the siren song of modernity and have lots of kids. Like being a partner at a local law firm actually isn't that big of a deal. Having three kids is a really big deal and will make you happier. And it's okay to be a stay-at-home mom. In fact, we need a lot of stay-at-home moms. And a lot of women want to be stay-at-home moms, and we have miserable women because we've been shuffling them into a corporate wasteland when in reality a lot of them don't find a lot of passion or fulfillment in that line of work. And who can blame them?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God you. Bless you. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You so
Thank
much.
You.
I just think it's funny that that chick's got a tape measure on her belt, and I don't know why. But, yeah, if, ladies, if you're out there, anybody wants to be a stay-at-home mom, fucking hit up this guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have our roles in life, and you know, that's why two-parent homes are very important. You know, like kids need, and I'm not saying women can't have jobs or that they should all just stay home or whatever, but there's probably a lot of truth to what he's saying. Like naturally men want to be a certain way, and we've tried to get away from that. So men and women want to have our roles, you know, like there's certain things that women are better at and that men are better at just naturally. And somewhere along the lines that became like this negative thing. And it's just how it is, you know, like to where we're naturally more happy, you know, and women are better caregivers. And these things are, you know, you can dispute them if you want, but I mean, it's true. I mean, kids need both. They need a dad to be like, you're not fucking doing that, and you know, be more of a hard ass. And certainly moms can too. I'm not saying this very well, but I agree what he's saying with a lot of things. And I think a lot of women would too, in the heart of hearts. So where do we want to go from here?
any of these. We don't have to talk about them ahead of time. We can just play whatever and we'll discuss afterwards.
I feel like the abortion thing is probably going to take the longest as far as our... Let's play that next. You good with that?
Yep.
We're almost there. You're going to make it.
Trump Republicans want to criminalize young Alabama women who travel for reproductive care.
Miss, I'm going to need you to step out of the vehicle, take a pregnancy test.
Stop them by taking action at righttotravel.org. Campaign for Democracy Group is responsible for the content of this advertising.
That commercial leaves me with so many questions. Like, are they saying that, like, pregnant women who try to travel across the border, they're somehow going to know that that's what they're doing? And if they see a woman in a car and she's close to the state line, that she must be going to get an abortion. Let's stop her and make her take a pregnancy test to make sure that's not happening. Is that what they're trying to say? I don't even understand. I have so many questions.
I think I'm actually reading about this right now. Granted, I'm reading it on Wikipedia. But I'm pretty sure that the way those laws work are that doctors who perform abortions can get in trouble or be arrested or fined or whatever. I don't know what the actual law is against the mothers themselves, but it's the same with a lot of things, but with abortion, 99% of them are convenience based. There are the 1% that are terrible stories where, like, if the mom doesn't... Granted, I feel like at any stage of pregnancy, they could C-section the baby and maybe keep it alive. So I still don't see why having to kill the baby is medically required in any circumstance. I know that they can, like, it can get lodged in a fallopian tube or whatever, but that's a thing that you figure out in the first week or two or month or two or whatever. Like, I don't know. That's why there's no definitive, like, yes abortion or no abortion law in place. It's all like, it depends. You know what I'm saying? Like, because there's some people that are against birth control. They're against condoms. Like, anything that keeps God's plan from happening is, like, impeding God or whatever. And me personally, like, I'm fine with the morning after pill. I'm fine kind of with abortion for the first several months or whatever. Like, so that's what the conversation should be, is like, all right, so let's take out life of the mother. Let's take out rape, incest, all those terrible things. And let's just talk about the other 99% of them that are just, I don't want to have a baby.
Like, which, like you said, the overwhelming majority of abortions, that's the case. And like, I was reading the thing last night that Newsom said that, first of all, he called it the moral issue of our time, which I think is pretty grandiose. And he claims Trump will make abortion illegal nationwide, and that he's lying about saying it should go to the states and be a state's issue. And I don't believe that he would do that. One, because he's a constitutionalist and the Constitution is all about states' rights. So I don't think he's lying about it. And I've probably said this on here before, but it bears repeating. The Democrats, if they wanted abortion to be untouchable, they could have codified it years ago, and they didn't do that because then it would cease to be a political talking point. That's what they're all about when it comes to race or abortion or a lot of things, is they just want to continue to use it for to the ignorant people who genuinely, if anybody believes that commercial, that cops are just going to start pulling women over and demanding they take a pregnancy test and then whatever the law would be. First of all, it's a bill that they're proposing, which likely will be shot down anyway.
Well, as of June 24th, 2022, with the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe versus Wade, abortion in Alabama became illegal except when the life of a mother is in danger. There are not exceptions for rape or incest. So apparently there was like an old law on the books in Alabama already that Roe versus Wade overturned. But when Roe versus Wade got overturned, that law popped back in to existence. It says there's not exceptions for rape or incest in Alabama. What I think is interesting is if we could cut to 10 years in the future when there's all these ladies in Alabama who have 10-year-olds that they would have aborted and be like, are you glad now that you have this baby? I wonder what percent of them would be like, yes, I am. Like, I'm glad that I didn't get to kill it way back when. Like, I don't know. And also, I wonder about New York or California or whatever in 10 years when it's like, hey, you would. I saw a thing the other day where a guy said, if you have an abortion, that doesn't make you not a mother. It makes you the mother of a dead baby, which I thought was a weird way to think about it. But it's kind of true. Like, that chick's not going to forget ever. Like, oh, yeah, I would. I would have a fucking 17-year-old by now if I hadn't done that thing when I was a kid, you know?
Well, that's something they don't talk about either when it concerning abortion, is that I've read stuff about women who have had abortions and they're depressed. It's not a natural thing to do that, to kill your baby. And they don't talk about that. What problems it causes women who do go through with it. And it is more often than not a convenience issue. And I don't think that he's going to make it a nationwide thing for abortion to be legal. But if it was, you know what would happen? People would be a lot more careful about getting pregnant, because frankly, it's not easy to get pregnant. I mean, obviously unwanted pregnancies happen all the time, but people who are setting out to have children, once you have one and you realize like, oh, everything has to be lined up a certain way, like the time of the month and the ovulation and all those things. If it wasn't a choice anymore, if it wasn't something you could do, people would they wouldn't get pregnant near as often, you know, if it was off the table, like, you can't do that anymore.
Or even if it was just frowned upon, you know, even if as a society we were like, ugh, you're not gonna kill it, are you? Like, you're gonna marry the girl and fucking like raise a family now, right? Like, obviously that's what you do, but instead of now we're like, oh man, but you're in high school still. Like, you can't be having no baby.
Like, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was done. Go ahead.
Well, it's also comical that Joe Biden claims he's a devout Catholic, which anybody who is a devout Catholic or even a semi-Catholic, they're not okay with abortion. That's like one of their biggest things. They don't even want you to do birth control. You know, I'm sorry, if there's a hell and the Bible says there is, and I believe there is personally, maybe it's a judgment call to make it, maybe I shouldn't say it, but if there's a hell, Joe Biden is going to burn in it, man. I mean, the guy is just, anyway, that's something Bill Hicks would say. That's a judgment call and I'm making it, but he's full of shit. Everything that guy says is completely full of shit. And I knew he was full of shit about anything concerning religion when he read off the teleprompter palmist instead of psalmist. You know, like
Psalms.
Yeah. Well, the word was psalmist. And he said palmist.
Now, what does psalmist mean? I think the word was psalms, like the psalms, yeah, from psalms, the Bible.
Psalms are something in the Bible. And when he read the word psalmist, he said palmist.
But what, I don't know what the word psalmist is. That's what I'm saying. I think he read the word psalms and he just read it as palmist.
Well, there is a word psalmist. I would have to look it up because I'm not sure exactly what it means either.
Oh, no, you're right. That psalmist is a word.
Yeah, he said palmist. Writer or composer of poems.
The author of a psalm.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, he's the psalmist. And there's another one. I don't know if we have that video, but recently, I think within the last day or two, he said some cheerleadery shit to the idiots listening to him, and he goes, pause. I mean, he literally had him. Do we have that video?
We do. Do you want to watch it?
Yeah, it's very short and very hilarious.
All right, play.
The look on this guy's face, too, it just, he bothers me on so many levels.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause.
Dude, I'll say it again. That ain't the same Joe Biden. I don't know if it is, dude. I would love, after all this is over, for whoever's playing that role to come out and just be like, hey, look what I did, you know?
Scooby-Doo style, yeah.
Yeah, but that look on his face when he says pause and he realizes, God, I'm an idiot, but they're cheering. Yeah. Oh, that look on his face, dude. He gets under me.
Yep, I don't let it bother me because I know that there's only 7 moves left.
Yeah, God bless you for saying it. I hope you're right, buddy. And no matter what, God's in control, so he's got this. All right, we got 2 more videos.
I like how you just said that. Yeah, now play the not Adam Carolla one, and we'll see how well God's doing.
What the fuck they got going on at Mad Kiddo East High School? What the fuck is this one? Hey, Bart! Oh, hell no. Nah. Y'all niggas wildin' on my mama.
Do not make fun of her.
What the fuck? Talking about do not make fun of this. What the fuck is this? Y'all niggas doing this shit in public?
Everyone wanted what? To walk me by the buses.
You want a treat to him? I got you.
Dog people.
And that shit's nationwide, too.
Yeah, but that leads well into this next Adam Carolla thing. It's about 1 minute long, and then after that, we'll talk about what our other video possibilities for the day are, because we've got a few to choose from.
And David, I should have said this at the beginning of the podcast about how I'm going to be in Des Moines this weekend, but and I'm trying to sell tickets to it, but I put up an ad, and one of the ads was my joke about transgenderism, and it's not hateful or anything, but somebody put a comment like, I can't believe he would use this as an ad, you know, to try to sell his comedy. Yikes. And then I went to her profile just to see, and she's like some big wig in the Democrats for Iowa or something. But so I wrote a comment. First, I just hid the comment because I didn't want it to be negative. But then I went ahead and unhid it, and I commented on it. And I go, well, part of the reason I shared this particular ad is because it's hilarious. And second of all, it's so people like you don't come to the show. Huh. But that's what that lady on the leash reminded me of, is just that there are some people who are pathetic. So what now? Adam Carolla?
Yes.
Okay. And then we'll get out of here pretty quickly.
Okay.
A large group of people voted for Biden and don't want to hear it. When you go, but you did know,
but yeah,
that, no, not interested in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because what it is, they do the same thing they did with COVID, which is, I'm now here to point out to you all the shit you got wrong about COVID. And the number one answer I get is, oh, drop it already. And I'm like, oh, drop it already. Well, that's interesting. So it's 3 years of you trying to get me fired and yelling at me. And now we're just going to turn the page because you're wrong. I don't think people want to go back and revisit their batting average.
Yeah.
And it calls into question their future, right? Like, what else are you wrong about now?
Yes.
Like, I want to sit down and tell you everything you're wrong about with COVID, which was everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when we move forward and another issue comes up, perhaps you can shut the fuck up because of your shitty batting average. They do not want to sit down and look at the scorecard.
Amen. And it reminds me of all I heard 4 years of Trump's presidency. Every day you get on Facebook and there was someone bitching about Trump being president and how he stole the election and blah, blah, blah. And as soon as Biden steals the election, which any thinking person knows he did, if you say anything about it, not only do they not want to hear it, But you can't even say that shit on, I mean, maybe you can now on like YouTube and certain places. I don't know for sure, but you couldn't even say it on social media. It's just the hypocrisy, the level of hypocrisy the last 4 to 6 years, 7 years has been just off the charts, man.
Yeah, you'll still get like fact checked or whatever on Instagram or TikTok or anything like that if you post something related to the election, or at least if you hashtag like politics or the election or vote or something like that, then there will be a thing at the bottom that's like elections are all safe and secure and yada yada whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So I know we're getting close to the end. There, we do have a Bill Maher thing, but it's long, but it's good. I don't know if you happen to see this from his monologue the other night, but Bill Maher is he's one of those guys that, like, I don't agree with him on 90. He kind of reminds me of the Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks in that video where he's like, all right, seriously, like, is this how far we're going with this? So if you want to watch that, I feel like that might be a good thing to end on, but it's long.
Like how long, you say?
Like 6 minutes.
Oh, geez. Okay.
But let's watch a minute of it and see. You can stop it anytime you want to. How about that?
Okay. Well, anybody still listening to the podcast is going to be okay with 6 more minutes, but here is the video. And by the way, I sometimes think Bill Maher is funny and okay, and then there's other times I'm like, what a pretentious asshole.
Exactly.
And finally, new rule. As one of the few people in the public eye who's gone through life and never had kids, someone has to tell me, why am I always having to defend them? I don't even like kids. But I also think it's every adult's job to protect them. Have you all been watching the Max documentary called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV? OMG. Nickelodeon, it wasn't a studio, it was Neverland Ranch with Craft Services. It is just scene after scene, clip after clip, of the child stars of their day being subjected to obviously inappropriate, highly sexualized degradation, and quite a few pickles going through glory holes. I was grossed out, and I've gone camping with John Waters. I kid you, John. I love you. So I don't know if this documentary is the talk of your town, but it is out here because it didn't just expose a dangerous workplace. It also exposed hypocrisy. Because it must be pointed out that when the evil governor of Florida was saying the exact same thing about kids and creepy stuff at Disney that liberals now find intolerable at Nickelodeon, he was dismissed as a hick and a bigot. But why would a kids' content factory like Disney be all that different than the one at Nickelodeon? A 2014 CNN report discovered that at least 35 Disney employees had been arrested for sex crimes against children, and in 2021, Disney child star Alison Stoner confessed she only narrowly survived the toddler-to-train-wreck pipeline. The next year, child star Cold Sprouse told the New York Times that young actresses at the Disney Channel were heavily sexualized from an early age. You know, Willie Sutton said he robbed banks because that's where the money is. And the reason we find pedophiles in the Boy Scouts and the rectory and kids TV is that's where the kids are. DeSantis wasn't wrong, but we're so tribal now. The left will overlook child fucking if the guy from the wrong party calls it out. Sure, Nickelodeon messed up Amanda Bynes, but the Mickey Mouse Club was where Britney Spears got her start, and she's perfectly fine. And get this, after Brian Peck, who was one of the lead creeps at Nickelodeon, served 16 months in prison for the molesting he did there, Disney hired him, naturally, to work on a children's series. Oh, for pedophiles in Hollywood, it's a small world after all. And And not just Hollywood. There are Instagram moms these days who are practically only fansing their itty-bitty beauty queen daughters by having them wear skimpy bikinis and eat bananas to build social media stardom. They're called Sharenters, a hybrid of sharing and parent. I call them pimps, a hybrid of pimp and s. And people who believe in social justice have agreed this is wrong and this is bad, and exposing kids to an adult world of lurid costumes and garish makeup borders on abuse. Now, hurry up and get in the car. We're late for Drag Queen Story Hour. Not that there's anything wrong with being a drag queen, but maybe it's time to admit that sometimes Drag Queen Story Hour is more for the queen than the kids. Sure, kids love a clown, but does the clown have to have tits? And when I see a 5-year-old tipping at a bar under a sign that says it's not gonna lick itself, do I have to pretend that's cool in order to keep my liberal ID card? Sorry, I can't do that. If you want kids to be more tolerant, why not have handicapped people read them stories? Kids are more likely to encounter disabled people than drag queens in life. Geez, can't we just go back to the good old days when kids were read simple stories with simple morals, like, if you're a lonely single man, just make a boy out of wood. I've said it before, wokeness is not an extension of liberalism anymore. It's more often taking something so far that it becomes the opposite. Teaching kids not to hate or judge those who are different, great, proud we got there, all for that. But at a certain point, inclusion becomes promotion. And contrary to current progressive dogma, children aren't miniature adults wise beyond their years, they're morons. They're gullible morons who'll believe anything and just want to please grown-ups. And they don't have any frame of reference, so they normalize whatever's happening. That's why endlessly talking about gender to 6-year-olds isn't just inappropriate. It's what the law would call entrapment, which means enticing people into doing something they wouldn't ordinarily do. For example, after 9/11, there were several cases of overzealous federal agents leading sad losers into terrorist plots, like the undercover FBI agent who got 7 out-of-work dudes in Liberty City, Florida, to sign on to a plot to bomb the Sears Tower in Chicago. Oh, please, these guys didn't even have a gun. But when someone said, wouldn't it be cool if we taught the man a lesson and blew something up? They said, yeah, that would be kind of cool. Entrapment. Suggesting someone into something they wouldn't otherwise do. And if you think that some of that isn't going on with gender in schools, you're not watching enough TikTok videos.
I pledge allegiance to the queers.
I'm not allowed to be out as trans non-binary at school. So my response to this is to be as obnoxiously queer as possible.
There's a certain kind of activist these days who wants to take heterosexuality, old school, old fashioned, boring, minding its own business, heterosexuality, and lump it in with patriarchy and sexism and racism and tell kids, wouldn't it be cool if you were anything but that? It also seems to be the theme of kind of a lot of kids' books these days. I never used the phrase gay agenda because I thought it was mostly nonsense. And it is, mostly. But a director for Disney Television Animation did say after she was hired,
the showrunners were super welcoming to, like, my, like, not at all secret gay agenda. Like, I was just, wherever I could, just basically adding queerness. No one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
Look, I'm all for adding queerness wherever. I put some in my drink before I came out here tonight. Woo! But maybe we should think about giving kids a break from our culture wars for a minute, or at least until the election is over.
Yeah, that was great. I, you know, again, sometimes I can't stand Bill Maher, and then sometimes I'm like, amen, brother. God bless you for saying every bit of that.
That's what I like about him that I didn't like during Trump's shit, is that he doesn't take sides the way I do, you know? Like, I'll defend Trump on... In my eyes, everything that I defend Trump on is totally defensible, you know? But Bill Maher is one of those guys that will just shit on whatever he sees that's worth shitting on, and it just so happens that right now we're starting to lean more in that direction, where even people on the left are telling the extreme left, like, dude, come on. Like, don't, not that. Like, yeah, some of the stuff that we've talked about, but not this.
Yeah, and there's so many people on the Democrat side, or people who consider themselves liberals, who are so worn out about all this shit. I remember talking to a guy at the Comedy Store one night, and who we couldn't have been more far apart on politics and all that stuff, but he's like, you know, I hate that. Just because I believe in a woman's right to choose, and I think there should be stricter gun laws, all of a sudden that I'm some huge liberal, and that's what they try to lump me in as. And there's like he said in the video, there's so many people that are Biden supporters or hate Trump or whatever that are so not okay with so much of this just insanity that they're trying to pimp off as normal and okay, and this is the direction we should go. There's an overwhelming majority of people that are like, I'm for this, but not that. Jesus, you know, like the tipping thing and all that. And to be spouting this stuff to such small children, like I said, if someone said some of this crap to my kid, man, we would have such a freaking problem. They are so innocent, and my boy especially, you know, because he's the one I see every day, you know, he still thinks if we're playing, we do this thing where I'm the giant and I have 3, 5, 4, 5, I smell the, you know, and he thinks if he eats food, it makes him invisible and then I can't see him anymore. Like, I really think he believes that, like, daddy can't see me right now because I eat this food. Like, he's a smart kid, but I really think he thinks he's invisible for a second. And when you start, you know, I realize every day, like, I'm using words that he doesn't understand. And then when you get him at a young age and you start talking to him about sexuality and all that, it's abuse, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't talk to kids about sex on any level, hetero or homo or anything. You just, some things, you just leave them the fuck alone.
Yeah, that's your privates. Like, don't show them to anybody and don't talk about them to anybody. Do you know who, do you know a comedian named Jordan Jensen?
No.
She's a chick. She did a thing the other day where she was talking about, like, eating mushrooms or acid or something like that. But then she compared it to being a little kid. And she was like, do you remember, like, did you have imaginary friends as kids? Like, I did. And they were fucking real. Like, I could see them. Like, so she was comparing mushrooms to being a kid, but it made me laugh because I can remember being a little kid and there was like a mother witch and a baby witch that lived in my hallway and I fucking talked to them all the time. I can still remember like sitting on the toilet and just having like full conversations with these two chicks that obviously didn't exist, but in my mind, they totally did. And so, yeah, it just further proves like kids are fucking idiots and we shouldn't be talking about adult shit to them. And the only reason that you would is, like Bill Maher said, to entrap them, or like I would say, to fucking groom them.
Yeah. And your story reminded me of the toilet story reminded me of, I remember going to old Shawnee days. Do you remember that in Kansas City?
Kinda. We stuck to the Missouri side, but yeah.
Well, we went to that when I was a kid. Like, it seemed like we went every year and they had the big turkey legs and all that shit. But it was around Christmas or Santa was coming to visit or something. And to this day, I can see it like it happened. And I obviously know it didn't, but I saw Santa's sleigh and reindeer. Like, I saw it happening, coming down, and in my child's mind, I was like, holy shit, Santa's real. I mean, it's right there. Reindeer can fly. And I saw that like I'm looking at you right now. That's how real it was to me because I was a kid and, you know, probably my boy's age, 5. And so to your point, it's just amazing what we can conjure up in our child's brain. So when you start putting things in there, like maybe you're a girl and maybe, you know, then they start, it's disgusting, man.
Yep.
So this is one of my favorite podcasts that we've done so far. It really has. I don't know if it's just because I'm in a really good mood this morning or what, but I thought the whole thing was good. And I might do a different intro. I might meld a different intro just so I can really pimp my shows this weekend for whoever wants to come. But
okay.
So I might meld that into here, or I might just leave it the way it is because I think from start to finish it was good and I enjoyed it. So if you got anything, don't have anything else to say, we'll sign off here. But so do you?
No. Well, wait, what's today? The 25th when we're recording? I have my whole May is filled. I have every week in May booked. I'm in Lincoln and Omaha the first weekend in May on the 3rd and 4th. I'm in, hold on, I'm going to tell you all of them. Granted, I could do it next week, but that's not important. Indianapolis at Crackers on the 10th and the 11th. Kansas City, Missouri at the Comedy Club of Kansas City the 16th, 17th, and 18th. And I'm opening again at Vorshays on May 24th and 25th. Vorshays is like 5 minutes from my house, and the owner's a cool dude. And he was like, you can come back once a month and feature. Like, you do enough new shit and wing it often enough that like it's a new show each time, so that's exciting.
I want to get a hold of that guy. I want to work there.
I'll put you in touch with him.
Okay. I feel like I've talked to him before, but it kind of got lost in the shuffle. But
yeah, you did.
And also mikeisfunny.com. I imagine your dates are all on there, right?
Yep, I just updated it today, so go on there, check out all my dates, and come see me do comedy.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks, buddy. And as always, go to Making It Happen, MACANItHappen.com. Help out Bo Macon and his family. And follow us on our social medias and subscribe to my YouTube and blah, blah, blah. All it says that stuff says all that stuff going across the bottom of the screen there. And come see me this weekend in Des Moines. And that's it. God bless all of you. Thanks for tuning in and take care. Goodbye.
Later.